Welcome to episode 2 of the Digital Power Hour presented by 51 Blocks. Today we're going to be discussing the challenge of merging workflows and strategic approaches with established agencies as a white label digital marketing partner. We're going to discuss our own challenges, our triumphs, and the way we try to get this thing right from the beginning. Our main question today is how to create the ideal white label partnership without compromising your own service models. And we have a few different questions to address to support that topic. First, we're going to discuss why being a flexible partner is key in establishing a good white label relationship. Brittany, I know you have a lot of experience kind of from the ground level getting these clients onboarded. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience in that?
Yeah, so I mean, it all starts when another agency comes to us. I think the biggest question I'm asked is, how flexible are you with your services? And what they mean by that is, are we able to kind of mold to their own agency? Can we be an extension of them versus, you know, like a separate entity? So I've actually had white labels who come to us and they say, wow, you guys are, you know, you're kind of a breath of fresh air, because I went to another white label and they have their own processes and procedures, and they're, you know, they're not willing to basically mold into our own company. So something that's really important, I think, in establishing that relationship right off the bat when an agency comes to us is that we really try and make sure that we understand what their workflow is. What are they providing their clients? What are the expectations they're setting with their own clients? And then how can we enhance that? How can we make it better? How can we also fulfill what they need us to? So those initial conversations really are really important for setting what that relationship is going to look like. Usually I always ask for examples of their deliverables. We'll ask for, you know, examples of their clients. So we try and get to know, is this, you know, someone that we can help? And typically we can. I mean, I think that's something that any good white label partner will be able to be an extension of their strategic team, their fulfillment team, handle their clients. I mean, that's, I think, what makes white labels so special. Just having those expectations super clear, like, can we do it or not? I think the hardest thing would be for me to say, oh, sure, we can. And then later on, it's like, it's not something that we can do, or it's something that we'll charge extra for. So getting as much information right at the very beginning in the sales process is absolutely key to setting up a good relationship, you know, 6 months down the road.
I know oftentimes, even for established agencies, we've seen a lot more success as far as client retention goes. Now that we've established the partner center and we have resources available to help even established agencies maybe iron out the process for setting those expectations. As we know, it's digital marketing can be fickle, and making sure that we are constantly establishing and showing the value of these campaigns is huge. And I know from experience now that having those things, having those resources set up for new and established agencies alike to showcase what needs to be done at a foundational level can help bring that.
Yes.
Now, Lisa and Gabrielle, you are in the trenches with a lot of these clients. What have you seen or experienced in your time as account managers and SEO experts? What have you experienced integrating into another person's team and becoming that extension?
I can start, Gab. I think what's important for us to know is, you know, the people that do the task work and work directly with them is that we are partners, and we're not working for them and they're not working for us. We're partners. And I think that being able to find a process that works for both parties is important. And being proactive with that process, doing what you need to be doing to get things done so they can see, you know, the total transparency of what you've been doing for them. And just explaining to them why or how your processes work for you specifically or your team can help your partner, your strategic partner, learn more about you as an account manager, and you know, you might be able to learn a thing or two from them, and I'm sure we can teach them a thing or two about processes specifically, but also, you know, certain task work that we work on, and why we are doing what we're doing for their clients.
Yeah, that's great. Gabrielle, what have you seen specifically as far as creating action items for white label partners based on the strategic audits that we do?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That has become probably a huge key integration in working with white label partners in terms of providing them not only with the research and the outcome of these audits, but kind of how we are going to tackle them moving forward, how this is going to improve, you know, a certain client. And obviously every client's different, so it's going to look different to you know, each industry. Creating action items not only helps us as those who are working on the site directly and working on those tasks that Lisa was talking about, but also to help our white label partners understand, you know, the actual items that we'll be accomplishing and the tasks and how that will be laid out throughout the process. You know, there are some white labels who, or some partners who, you know, will just blindly accept the work that you're doing, you know, something similar to what Brittany was talking about, where the communication aspect is really important, and having set bullet points or set action items really helps gain clarity and help really both parties feel that much more comfortable with getting the client on the right path and, you know, achieving the goals that we've set right at the beginning of the campaign.
That's great. Yeah. Now, kind of in that vein, Reggie, as the brains behind the SEO operation here, what have you seen and what have you implemented to help at kind of the strategic level to keep, you know, two agencies on the same page? Because, you know, I know we've gone through this a number of times with different strategic partners where there can be differences in an approach to strategy, whether that's something as simple as a change in phrasing versus, you know, a completely different strategic approach to an account. What have you found that's been successful at keeping agencies on the same page like that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, if you get five SEOs, excuse me, in a room, they're all going to do things five different ways, most likely. So what I found is, you know, they're not completely different things, but they're closely related or related enough to where, you know, you can slightly tweak your processes and keep the same document. So one specific example is we have a partner that currently focuses on keyword width, where our strategy focuses on keyword depth. And, you know, establishing that relevance and being the expert. So it was just, you know, a simple tweak of our documents instead of looking at, you know, keywords getting the most traffic on a keyword family or a keyword category level. We take all the keyword categories possible, and then we take the top performing keywords from a cost per click and a traffic perspective. So it's just basically, you know, looking at a Excel sheet, we would look at it, you know, vertically, and then we just cut that process. And now we look at all URLs horizontally and just spread that sheet out a little more. So that was one thing that was one enlightening to me, because I was like, okay, well, now we can look at our keyword families a little bit more holistically, as opposed to little silos. And then we can also maybe not have to go as deep to get rankings. We can, you know, see how far, you know, down the optimization path we can get on pages to where we can get, you know, a lot of results for a minimal amount of work. So we're not, you know, overworking one page to the, you know, to over optimize it when we only need to update the title, and then that moves the page several positions.
Cool. That's excellent. That actually kind of leads into my next question here. And this is for everybody, Brittany, including you, who's generally the one who has to put out the fires. When establishing or creating a foundation and setting those expectations early, You know, on both sides of the coin, generally agencies want to show quick wins to help augment their strategy for the longer term. How do you, as account managers, because every single person here today has managed accounts and continues to, how do you establish your strategy for getting those quick wins, setting those expectations versus the longer term strategy? So as we all know, a lot of clients that come through the door here aren't the most patient, and we want to make sure that we're keeping them engaged, you know, from the very beginning and keeping them excited about the account.
So on my side with operations, I mean, we can talk about what happened with all of us. We had a partner who their expectations that, you know, essentially weren't communicated to us, right? So Ryan's talking about in putting out fires and keeping people happy along with expectations is that it's on both sides. So I can give them as many expectations as I am aware of on my side when I get all the information. But if they're not communicating with us what their expectation is, then it's not, there's always going to be a fire. There's always going to be something. So we all experienced that with a partner where it was like every week it was something new, you know, something we weren't doing or something they expected from us, but never actually said. So I think it's important that, you know, partners and agencies that want to have this white label partnership and, you know, they're seeking out these services, it's so important that they say what they need to say as well. And they do that at the very beginning. I think it actually hurt us more, and I think they're learning as well. And a lot of times we get agencies that have never done this before. So it is also kind of just navigating their way, you know, as we go. But I think when it comes to how you want your account managers to report to you, how you want the account managers to define their tasks and make sure they're done and organize themselves, if your agency has its own workflow, have that established when you're ready to go partner with someone and have it clearly defined on day one. Don't, you know, wait until you feel like you just don't like it and then you come up with a whole other process a week later and then another one and then another one, because I feel like what it does is it sets us all back. Then we're relearning what we need to be doing. And usually it just comes down to like how it's communicated, how it's documented. It has very little oftentimes to do with the actual task work that's getting done and that's being accomplished for the client. You know, I think I can just speak for our team, but that has always been priority. So our biggest fires in this agency kind of partnership, it comes from trying to understand each other and trying to understand how we think and how we move. And, you know, I think it's on both sides to make sure that it's just very clear from day one. So if I could give any advice to an agency that is new to white labeling and they're seeking out a partner, make sure that you know what you want in a partner to begin with. So that you set them up for success, because I think it hurts the relationship if it's not equal on both sides when it comes to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as much as that definitely stung in the first few weeks of our relationship, I think it ultimately helped us to know what to ask for and to be, you know, to be a better partner from the get-go on our end as well, knowing what we want. And, you know, that's a huge part of any relationship, any partnership, is knowing what you want from the get-go and making sure that that's communicated on all sides. So it's yeah, definitely been an interesting evolution in the relationship between several of these companies.
Yeah, I think it challenged us too, like in a good way. I think Gabrielle, Lisa, Reggie, you guys can all say that it made you, every time we hit this wall, it makes you a little bit better. So it's kind of our saying that like we're failing forward. I think we'll never get away from this kind of thing. I think it just comes with the territory. But we always try and take away the learning lesson that we can get a little bit better and we can be a better partner next time. So the next agency, you know, that we have and we know they're new to this and we know that, you know, they have their own thing, we can help guide them at the beginning and ask the right questions that maybe we didn't ask with this last partner. So I think it always ends on a positive. And thankfully, you know, we were all able to get them back on track and do what they wanted, because again, it comes down to how flexible we can be as a partner. And our whole goal is to make sure their lives are are easier, not harder.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Now, team, what are some of the specific tools or processes you've created or that you've enjoyed utilizing as part of becoming that extension of a white label partner?
I wouldn't say it's a tool. It's just one thing I kind of picked up along the way. Usually when you're onboarding with a white label or the white label and the client, either of them will voice, you know, two or three top pain points. And those might be something as, you know, extravagant as being page one for everything, for all their targets. Or it might be something as simple as, hey, we have a call tracking issue. We can't use, you know, dynamic numbers. We only have one number, but our theme doesn't allow that. So just making sure that, you know, you listen to those two or three pain points, and maybe you won't solve them in 30 days, maybe you won't solve them in 90 days, but it's important to me in the first 7 days to tell the label or the client, hey, we're working on this, here's a plan, here's a few actions that we put in place. And that's a quick win for everyone, because it's like, oh, okay, we had this huge issue, and now we're, you know, putting pen to paper on it, and we're actually, you know, making headway on something that's been a huge pain point for us. So I think that's one trick that I've learned along the way that just makes everything better for everyone involved in the campaign.
Yeah, that's great.
And kind of just piggybacking on that, I think that providing turnaround expectations are pretty large, or a pretty big deal. So A, you don't leave the client hanging, and B, you're kind of kept to an organizational schedule yourself. If you have a partner that's sending you, you know, a request every day or two instead of doing them as they come in, which can be distracting, I think it's important to give a agreed upon turnaround date, be it 2 days or a week, depending on the task. But just being transparent there with our work that we're doing for them.
Now, one of the best ways we've found to manage agencies, clients, everything kind of across the board is establishing a solid organizational structure within the company, making sure that every client we have, whether they're a white label or an SMB client, know full well that they don't just have one point of contact, that they have an entire team to support their account. Brittany, can you tell us a little bit about your experience in that, helping with that support structure and creating it?
Yeah. So with other agencies, it is, you know, it's very similar to what we have. So they have an operations person, they have a salesperson, they have managers, and they have specialists and everything like that. And I think what's really important is that they understand, you know, that they're actually getting the full team. But it's not just like they have to manage us. I think that's one big concern, is that they feel like they're going to have to manage one more person. And that's not the case. It's, you know, when there's an issue, it's myself, it's the other operations manager or another manager on their side who are trying to problem solve together and get our team on the same page. The other thing that's really important with the structure is that there are different tiers as we have here, right? So we have big accounts that would have a lead strategist and a specialist, and other ones that might have two strategists and a specialist. So what we try and do is dissect the account and the level it needs in terms of attention, and then get our best players on it. So that's really important in the onboarding process and the sales process, is like all that information allows us to set up the right structure per account. So some smaller accounts might just have their specialists. I mean, they might be really tiny and they don't need, you know, someone else to bring those bigger ideas. And then you might have other accounts that are high level, and every single meeting, the partner is expecting more ideas. That usually comes from our strategists, who sit down and, you know, who brainstorm together, and then can bring all those ideas. So I think, again, it's with expectations. What, you know, what do they expect on the account? It's totally different per client. And then it's making sure that we set them up for success with the right structure internally. So we're giving them exactly what they need. And I think a lot of times it's cool because we're able to just learn from each other. That's the harder thing. Like Reggie was saying, you get a bunch of people in a room who all do SEO, they're all going to do it differently. Like my background is in content and thought leadership. So the way I look at things is different. The way I look at a website is probably going to be different. So, you know, we try and give our partners with their clients a little extra attention by internally having those brainstorming sessions. So that, and honestly, even the strategists, they might not, those accounts might not see a manager all the time. They might not always have a strategist on the line, but the specialist has their like repository of ideas that they've gotten from the help internally that we support everybody with. So yeah, I mean, I think really it's important to note that when you partner with an agency like ours, we really try and handle the people management side and the expectations internally so that they don't have to stress that we're not gonna, you know, meet the bar. I think that's the biggest thing there.
I think another tool and way that we help make that such a success is the way we communicate with all of our clients, or really anyone for that matter, coming out of 51 Blocks. We utilize a shared inbox, which gives our entire company like full view and transparency with our clients in terms of how we communicate, or basically just the way that we communicate. It gives our clients just this 100% attention, really. We try to answer emails as quickly as possible. Our turnaround for communication with them is very quick, and we are, I think all of us are reminded all the time, like, thanks for your fast turnaround. You know, we really appreciate you jumping on this issue right away, especially with hosting clients too. Everyone's very appreciative of the fact that we get to them and they're not just, you know, emailing support at blah, 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 and then not hearing back for 48 hours. We definitely respond faster than that, I think within a couple hours, if anything. But our shared inbox really is, I think, one of our best tools to communicate with our clients. And a really cool way we're kind of evolving that is with our white label partners and creating a space for them in our shared inbox, so we are able to communicate with the clients that we partner with them. And that kind of just follows up with how we can be an extension of their team is, you know, creating that shared inbox with them so we can communicate with the clients, because we've all experienced holes with white label partners where, you know, we do the work, we pass them the work, we explain it to them, and then they go ahead and take it to the client. And then when the client has questions, then either they can't answer them or they have to come back to us and like, here are the client questions. And, you know, it takes a lot of time, and, you know, it could just speed up the process a lot if we're able to talk to the client directly. And it also helps fill in that gaps and just makes it more of a smooth process. And again, that extension of their team where we're no longer, you know, we're not two companies working on this account. We are one company, we are one team, and we have the same, you know, viewpoint and goal for this client. And we want them to know that, you know, we have their back and we're behind them. And, you know, that's the most important, is the client and their expectations and the fact that they know where to reach us and that we have fast turnaround. We will always communicate with them in a timely manner. It really makes our job easier. It makes it more pleasant to be able to communicate our work with the client. And it helps our white label partner also understand and have that full visual within the shared inbox of our communication with the client and being able to chime in, you know, and pass things off. It makes it easier for them and kind of makes that relationship pretty fluid.
Yeah, it's actually something that in our sales process we really talk about, and it's not so much that it's like a portal for us to be able to talk to their clients. It's more so that they know they have an entire leadership team that looks at all the emails too. So yeah, it's like they know there's backup should a fire arise. Like, they have three people who are going to sit and see all those emails. The other thing that I talk to them about is we always kind of, you can always sense when the client's tone is a little off. So it allows us to be a lot more proactive. I think when you're in the day-to-day as an account manager, sometimes you don't necessarily sense it, right? Because you're moving from like point A to point B so fast. So it's nice, I think, to have support, you know, to have a manager come to you and say, hey, like, can we talk about this? Or, hey, let's problem solve before you respond. So I think the I think one of the coolest aspects is that it's just like extra support that they know our eyes are constantly on it, not just one person, but everybody. The other thing too is that I think more white label partnerships fail when we can't actually access the clients. And we have some times where I think the white labels aren't yet comfortable and they want, you know, they just want to like CC their support inbox while they speak to their client, and then they're still kind of in the middle. I think it's nice that it eventually gets to a point where we work them out of that so we can talk directly to their clients. So, and sometimes it's going to take me saying, hey, like, you know, I think we got it from here, because everything's been going so well. And they give us a shot at that. And so we try and move at their comfort level. But either way, it's amazing to be able to have all that information. And should someone else be brought onto the account, should we ever have any change of hands, that inbox secures all the historical information, all the historical communication. It's just, it's amazing. I think, like Gabrielle said, it's one of our best tools that we have to provide a white label with.
Absolutely. I agree. I think it helps us get things done that require multiple parties. Common thing in SEO is, you know, you want to deploy something, but it takes, you know, your SEO and a developer. With our process and our system, everyone can see what the parameters of the project are, where we are, any hangups, and, you know, we can leave notes to assist each other on, hey, I stopped at this point, we're having a technical issue with the JavaScript. And then, you know, the next person in line can take it from there. And I really feel like it expedites any process that takes more than two people to fulfill.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to, you know, it all circles back to the original point of setting up a good foundation, and then creating and setting those expectations, and then supporting those expectations throughout the lifetime of the campaign, and ultimately increasing that lifetime value. Well, thanks, guys. I think that's about it for today. We talked a lot about client communication, structure, setting reasonable expectations for both sides of a partnership, and how to really create good value for both us and our white label partners, as well as their clients. Until next time, this has been the Digital Power Hour. Thanks, guys.